Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is discussing Rava's contention that with regards to Rabbi Eloi's position, where Rabbi Eloi says that the word Tzonecha comes to teach you not only is someone who is in a shutafut with a goy patur, but even someone who is in a shutafut with a Jew is patur. That's a unique position that he has. The Chachamim disagree and think that only a shutafut with a goy is puter you from Beshita Geis. Whereas Rabbi Eloi says that even a shutafut with Yisrael is excluded from Beshita Geis. Rava then made a statement about that, which is that unique position, Rabbi Eloi, is exactly that. It's a unique position, which is mode Rabbi Eloi b'truma. That Rabbi Eloi agrees by truma that the only exclusion over there is for a shutafut with a goy, not for a shutafut with Yisrael. And then he goes on to say that about chala, and about peah, bechura, and mezuzah. We dealt with all of those yesterday. Even though all of those have a terminology that is possessive, that would have indicated the same type of limud that Rabbi Eloi makes in the case of Reshita Geis. And as Tosafot said yesterday, this is relying on the last explanation of the machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eloi. We saw three explanations. Of the last explanation, it says there that the word Tzonecha, according to him, that possessive form means unique and individual ownership. So that means anytime you come across a possessive noun like that, that's in the singular in the Torah, it should give you the same label, which is, for instance, the last one we did yesterday was Mezuzah. Davdem ha-Mezuzot Beitecha uVisharecha. So Beitecha, in that possessive form, should indicate your house, and that would mean excluding a partnership with the goy, excluding a partnership with another Jew, and yet that's not the case. So Rava says that even though Rabbi Eloi thinks that, in all these cases, there's a reason to mitigate that limud. And that is that in all these other cases, there's a language that's found somewhere else in the Torah that has plurality associated with it. So we saw that by Truma, it says Trumotechem, couldn't exactly find that word, but it says something in the plural. Chala, it says Arisutechem, by Peah, it says Ubikutzurchem, Ekatziratzechem, by Bechora, it says Bikarchem, Vitzonechem, and Mezuzah, it says Leman Yerbu Yemechem. So there are all these pluralities that offset the unique statement of possessive noun that you would have thought meant only an individual private ownership. And so therefore, Rabbi Eloi, even though he has that opinion with Reshita Geis, he doesn't have it by Mezuzah. Gemara here is going to continue now and ask about other areas of halacha, which is maaser. Avagav divchtiv, even though it's written by maaser, it's a baser taaser, kol tvuat zarecha, yitzeh sadeh shana shana, v'chalta lifnei Hashem lokecha v'makom asher yivchar l'shaken shmo sham, maaser digancha, tiroshcha v'yitzarecha, v'chorot b'karcha v'tzonecha, v'man t'umad yirat Hashem lokecha kol yamin. So there you see maaser digancha, Dilachin deshutafuto. If you continue that limud of Rabbi Eloi, that would mean only something that is private and individual ownership. Any partnership would be excluded. Kotav Rachmana, the pasuk says, ma'asrotechem. That's the same pasuk that we quoted before for the Bechora, in Pasharei. Ve'veitem sham alotechem zivchechem ve'et masrotechem. Ve'chumat yadechem ve'nidrechem nidvodechem ve'chort barkarchem ve'tzonechem. So Masar Techem is in the plural. Ela Masar Digancha the Mayato. So then what is the singular possessive form coming to teach you? The Meute Shutafut Dovei Kochavim. To tell you that when you have a Shutafut with a Goy, then it is Patur. But if you have a regular Shutafut with a Jew, that would not be Patur. Matanot, which is from our previous Perek, the Zroa Lechayayim in Keba. Ava Gabdichti Rachmana Vinatan. Even though, as we saw before, that Zeyeh Mishpat HaKohenim made the Amid Zulchei Zerachim Shorim V'natan in the Zakohen, Azroa L'chayayim V'akeba, Igal Meimar Yalif Nitina, Nitina Mireshit HaGeiz, the subsequent Pasuk that says, Reshit HaGancha V'tirosh Chavi Zerecha V'reshit Geiz, so Nechat Hitein Lo. So maybe you make Zer Shava Nitina, Nitina, Malahalan Deshutafut Lo, Avkan Deshutafut Lo, just like by Reshit HaGeiz, any partnership is patur, Mishita Geiz, according to Rabbi Eloi. Maybe so too, by Matanot. Kata Rachmana, me'et zovchei hazevach, the plural form, zovchei. So that shows you that Shutafut is chayav. El daima, diftib Rachmana, me'et zovchei hazevach. It's only because the Torah has Zubchev Zevach in plural that Shutafut is Chayav. Halav Ochi. Had it not been for that, Avamina Leilif Meshit Hagez in Ochanami, you would have learned from Reshit Hagez Adrabo Neilif Mitruma. Why are you learning from Reshit Hagez? You can learn from Truma, which is the Reshit Hagez says Ditein Lo, and it also uses the Lashon Nitina with regards to the Truma. And so you would have thought that maybe that the Gzer Shava of Nitina would teach you that by Shutafut you don't have a door, like Rabba said by Truma before. It says Enochanami. You're right. Enochanami. Even if you had the word Natan, you wouldn't have thought that way, because you have a choice now between two Gzerot Shavot, one Gzer Shava that is between Matanot and Reshit Hagez, one that is between Matanot and Truma. One of them is the Kula. If you match it up with Matanot, then a Shutafut would be Patur. One of them is the Chumra. If you match it up with Truma, it would be the Chumra. Whenever you have a choice between a Drasha, the Chumra, Drasha, the Kula, you're going to do the Drasha, the Chumra. So then, Enochanami, you would have said that it is not Patur. So then, what do you need Meitz of Chaya Zevach for? Lomali, Lichei Derovo. That's the Din of Rovo that we saw in the previous parak. Damarovo, Din Ima Tabach. That the Kohen can go after the Tabach. Even though the Tabach is not the owner of the animal, the Tabach, the Shochet, who's doing the Shkita, he can take him to Din to extract the Matanot from him, because he's considered to be the party that has it in his possession this time. And the Torah says that Zobchei HaZevach, the one who's Shechting, is the responsible party to ensure that the Matanot get there. And the word Zobchei, as Rashi says, is just Lishna Dekra. It's not something to make a big deal about, that it's Zobchei HaZevach. We don't need that for the limud of Shutafut. So the limud comes out of the extraneous Zevchei Zevach is to teach you the din of Rava, but as far as Shutafut is concerned, you would have learned from Truma, and by Truma we already said that Shutafut Israel is Chayav. Bikurim. Afagav Dichtiv, by the Bikurim, it says, Lekachta Mereshit, Kol Pri Adama, Asher Tevi Me'artzecha, Asher Hashem Lekach Noten Lach, Samta Batena, Alachta El HaMakom, Asher Yivchar Hashem Lekach L'Shukein Shemo Sham, in Pasha Kitavo. You would have thought again, Artzecha didecha in Teshutafut lo. Yours, you are chayav in, but Teshutafut no. The same drasha that Rabbi Eli had by Reshit Hagez. Kata Rachmana, Pasuk says, in Pashat Korach, Bikurei kol asher be'artzam, asher yaviu l'ashem l'chayye, kol tahor b'veitcha yochalena. So there it says, be'artzam. So that would include a plurality, meaning that even a Shutafut be chayav, el artzecha lomali. So then what do you need the artzecha that's found in Parshat Kitavo about bringing the kechachta mereshit kol pri adama shetevim artzecha, limute chutz laaretz, to tell you that bikurim don't apply in chutz laaretz. And Rashi points out over here that even though artzam would also seem to imply that only in Eretz Yisrael, why do you need artzecha below artzam? So he says, aval artzecha mashmo, means uniquely yours, and not only kochavim. So he says that artzecha is a much more limiting type of statement, and therefore artzecha limits it to Eretz Yisrael, because it's hamiyuchedet lecha. Artzam doesn't have that bearing or meaning in it, and therefore they need artzecha, not artzam, to teach you that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Tosafot says, what do you mean to exclude lechutz aretz? Valo mitzvah tuya baretzi. It's a mitzvah tuya baretz, and any mitzvah tuya baretz is automatically only applicable in Eretz Yisrael, not applicable in Chutz Laretz. So what do you need artzecha to teach you that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael? So Tosafot says you need that here, because when in Parshat Mishpatim and Parshat Kitisa, which we will name on Chol HaMoed Pesach, there it says with regards to the Shlosh Regalim, Bikurei Kol Admatucha Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha, Lo Tevashel Bidi Bechalei Vimo. There's a juxtaposition between Basar V'Chalav and Bikurim. And Tosafot says he would have had a Hava Mino to say, just like Basar V'Chalav applies even in Chutz Laaretz, Bikurim would be applicable even in Chutz Laaretz. So that's what Artzecha comes to tell you. No, that it has the regular din of Mitzvot HaTluyot V'Aretz, and therefore you're only chayav in Eretz Yisrael. Tzitzit. What about tzitzit? Achdakav dikhtiv rachmono. Even though the pasuk tells us in Parshat Kitetzei, so gedilim nesei lach al arba kanfot kusutcha asher techaseba,
Sutcha, didcha in deshuta vlo.
Once again, that would indicate private personal ownership only. Shutafut would be excluded. Katav Rachmana, the pasuk in Parshat Shlach says, Taber al bnei Yisrael v'matalehem esulehem tzitzit, al kanfei big day hem l'dorotam v'natnu al tzitzit akanaf til tchelet. So they're big day hem l'dorotam. Elak sutcha lomali. So then what does the sutcha come to teach you? Likhid Rav Yehuda. That's the din of Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yehuda. Talit shu'ula tura min hatzitzit kol shloshim yom. And for the first 30 days, a borrowed talit does not require tzitzit. So that has major halachic ramifications about a borrowed talit not requiring tzitzit. Tosafot, both earlier in this Masechta, we discussed it back on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Bet, as well as we saw the Tosafot in Menachot and Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. There, the Bali Tosafot say, where do you ever find a locha midoraita that has a 30-day window to it? So if the first 30 days, you're patur mit tzitzit, after 30 days, you're chayav in tzitzit. How could there be a din d'oraita that says for 30 days you don't have to do the mitzvah, after 30 days you do the mitzvah? It must be a din d'rabbonon, because the reason is that for the first 30 days it doesn't look like yours. After 30 days it looks like yours. You borrow somebody's clothing. For 30 days you can, people say that's not his, it belongs to someone else, so they understand shula. You wear somebody's piece of clothing for a year, nobody's gonna think it's the other person's clothing anymore, they're gonna think it's your clothing. So because it looks like it's yours, you have to put tzitzit on it. And therefore the Balei HaTosafot suggests that this is a din derabbanan. Midoraita, someone who borrows a piece of clothing, borrows a talit, is patur min hatzitzit, and doesn't have to put in tzitzit at all. It's just because of maratayin, after 30 days, that it looks like yours, then you have to put in tzitzit, but that's a din derabbanan. It's a huge chiddush of the Balei HaTosafot, that midoraita, you are patur. There are obviously dissenting opinions who think that even midoraita, you are chayav after the 30-day window. But the Balei HaTosafot take this position, and then they say, in addition to that, that's the same thing by mezuzah. By mezuzah, when you live in a rented space, for the first 30 days, you're patur mina mezuzah. After that, you're chayav in mezuzah. How could that be the threshold? Again, once you pass the 30-day, it looks like it's your place. And it looks like it's your dira, and therefore you're chayav in mezuzah. But that's only, again, a chiyuv midrabanan. Midoraita, you'd be patur mi mezuzah in that house. Obviously, there are also dissenters. There's more reason to dissent, because the Gemara says it's chovat adarhi, that the obligation on the party that lives there is not necessarily tied to the ownership. It has to do with where you are residing, not who owns the house. Therefore, they believe that it is a din d'oraita even to put on the mezuzah after that period of time. Although the Balei Tosafot argue that chuvat adar is not because you are chayav as opposed to the owners that are not chayav. You're not chayav either. It's just that we can't obligate the owners because they don't live there. The only party that we can put it on, midrabanan, is the dar, because he's the one who lives there. But not because that's the obligation is on the dar. It just means that he's the party that we're going to make responsible for this din derabonon. So Tosafot has this chiddush both by talit and by mezuzah. But that leads to a serious issue with regards to brocha. If you are chayav only midrabanan and you really potter midoraita, how can you now make a brocha on it? And he says, even though the Rabbeinu Tam says with regards to women who opt into a mitzvah that they're allowed to make a brocha, which is the psak of the Ashkenazim, that women who decide to do a mitzvah to say shazman grama, they can make a brocha on that mitzvah. So even though they're torah, they can say asher kidi shanu mitzvah vitzivanu. So why not say that the same thing over here? That you could say vitzivanu, even though you don't have to put on the mezuzah, you're not chayav in the mezuzah, but you're opting in to do it, so maybe you should be able to make the bracha. Tosafot says there are different cases. By the woman, anybody else in that position, meaning a man in that position, would be chayav. So therefore, when she does it, she can make a bracha of itzivanu. On the other hand, by the case of mezuzah, the case of talit, anybody else in your position would also be patur. Anybody who's renting, anybody who's borrowing is patur. So if that's the case, asher kedishanu mitzvah itzivanu doesn't make sense. And therefore, the Balei HaTosafot would say that you should not be able to make a brocha. Lein brocha nira she'en levarech al ha-shula. That he thinks that you shouldn't be able to make a brocha on it. But then he says, v'afal pikein, Hamivarech lo hipsid. Says someone who makes the bracha doesn't lose out. So you see that Tosafot backing away from this position and saying that even though maybe you should make a bracha, nevertheless, if you do make a bracha, you don't lose out. So that then has halachic ramifications for borrowing a talit. If someone borrows a talit from a friend, what do you do in terms of putting in tzitzit? And what do you do in terms of making a bracha? So the Shulchan Aruch paskens, the Shoel Mechagro talit shein mitzvietzer, someone who borrows a talit that does not have tzitzit in it, but tor melahotil ba tzitzit kol yamid yom. For the first 30 days, like we say here, you don't have to put tzitzit in it. V'lachal yamid yom chayav mide rabbanan. You only chayav mide rabbanan. Ibnei sheni reit kishelo. It looks like his. If he borrows it with the tzitzit already on it, then you can make a bracha on it immediately. The Mishnah Berurah commenting on that says, that's the whole reason he lent it to him. So that he make a bracha. And if he can't make a bracha unless it's his, as if he not lent it to him, but he gave it to him as a gift, with a condition of return. He gave him full ownership in it, in order that he can make the bracha. Why borrow tzitzit, unless you can make a bracha on them? So that must be the whole purpose of it. And so there's a mukha milta, that the intent of both the giver and the receiver over here, are to make a bracha on it. And therefore the grantor is going to grant it in such a manner, that would mechayev him to make a bracha. So that's a scenario that we bump into mostly today, which is where you're borrowing a talit that already has tzitzit in it. And therefore, he says here that if it's an individual giving over the tzitzit, it is an assumption or a default that that giving is done in such a manner that it will allow you to make a bracha on the tzitzit. It will be a matana, not nachzir, even though it's a talit shi'ula. The Mishnah says it's only when it's a private person's talit. Aval b'talitot shel kahal. The seaboard's talitot to ancient mitzvot bebatei knesiot tzarich levarich alav lekulei alma. According to everybody, you have to make a bracha on it. Afilu kishalov show rakla vor lifnei ateva. Even if you're just borrowing it to go up daven or lalot laTorah, yishum talit shel kahal adaita dehochei kanu mitchila. The whole purpose of a talit originally is bought for this purpose. So kol mishlovesho to yeshalo kamo betro. Similar to the story by the etrog, where they bought a joint etrog for the tzibur, that there, every person who takes it is taking it matana mat nachzir and then gives it back because of the fact that that's the only way everybody can be yotzei the bracha, and that's the nature of the purchase. So over here, the talit is purchased on behalf of the tzibur, given to the tzibur, is given in such a manner that whoever uses it or utilizes it can make a bracha on it. So therefore, if you're running up to get an aliyah, then that talit becomes yours. If it becomes yours, you need to make a bracha on it when you go up to get an aliyah or go to daven for the omud. Now, if you're going up and you take it from a private person, over there, you can assume maybe that it's she'ela, and then you'd be patur mina bracha in that case, because the person only intends to give it to you during that period of time for kavod tzibur. They're not intending to give it to you for a longer duration. And over here, you don't need to make a bracha. You're using it to be yotzei the mitzvah. So here we won't assume that he's giving it to you as a matanah and not nachzir. We'll just assume it's she'ela, and that will get you out of the bracha. That happens to be a machloket in the poskim as to whether that's true or not. The Mishnah Berurah says, despite that, when it comes to the talit of the kahal, for sure you have to make a bracha when you go up. In the Bi'ur Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah backs away a little bit from that and says, B'sefer Sharei Ephraim Katov Yoter Tov Likach Talit Shula Beit Aliyato Torah. Says the Shari Ephraim says it's much better to take a private person's talit when you're going up to get an aliyah or daven for the umrah when we need a talit, because that is something that is shi'ula and is patur min habracha. But if you take it from the kahal, he says that is a suffik brachot, because maybe you have to make a bracha on that case. So then the Shari Ephraim says that number one, if you do take the talit kahal, you should have in mind that you're trying to be yotzei the mitzvah of tzitzit. So the Mishnah Berurah Halacha says later on, that's because we have a requirement of kavanah b'mitzvot. And so over here, where you want to make a bracha, you should have kavanah for that. Then he also adds in the differential that if you put it on your head and you wrap your head in it, then for sure you would have to make a bracha. If you don't wrap your head in it, then you don't need to make a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah and the Berurah Halacha is somewhat circumspect about that. He says that we pass in the halacha that you don't have to be mitatef in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of tzitzit. We do it, but you don't have to be mitzateif all the time. As long as he has the capacity for atifa, that's enough. Therefore, he doesn't see this as being a manner or mechanism for getting out of the din, or getting out of the bracha. So that's the view of the Mishnah Berurah and the Be'er Halacha. You know that the briskers, and there are others that disagree with this psak of the Mishnah Berurah, and believe that even when you take a talita kahal, that you still patur mi bracha. And that's because when you take the talit, you're not taking it to wear it, like the Shari Ephraim says over here, have kavanah to yotzi the mitzvah. Your kavanah is kavod tzibur. And therefore, since you're not wearing it aus beged, you're wearing it aus kavod tzibur, that in itself will give you the tour of bracha. Again, it's an important halacha over here about the din of turam and tzitzit kol shloshim yom and the ramifications of that. Over here, the Gemara used the extra ksutcha to teach you that it has to be your ksut and not a bar ksut. Before, by mizuzot, the Gemara says that the Beit Echa didn't come to teach you about a shutafut. It came to teach you a derech biatka, the way that you enter the house, to tell you that mizuzot al yamin. Tosa put over there, it says, why doesn't the Gemara just say that if you're in a shutafut with a goy, then you're patur mea mizuzah? That would have been just as good a lima, and that's what he used with every other case before that. Why does the Gemara not do that? So you could argue the Gemara here has a different limud. So therefore they used it. If they didn't have that limud, that ain't okanami. But the more likely answer to that question is one of two. Either the din by mizuzah and by it is chovat hadar. It's nothing to do with the ownership. It doesn't matter if you're in a partnership with the goy. It depends on who's living in the house. If you live in a house of a goy, you're chayav and mizuzah in that house because it's a chovat hadar. So therefore, it's not a din that you would say shutafut obi kochamim is going to make you patur, because it has nothing to do with the ownership. It has to do with the living, the person who resides there. That's one reason why the Gemara might have not gone that way, which would mean that if you do have a partnership with a guy, then you're not patur. And that happens to be a machloket in the poskim as to whether a guy is puter you when it comes to mizuzah. Either because ownership shouldn't matter, or, and this might be another reason the Gemara doesn't do this, is that the goy is not living with there with you in the house. The Gemara didn't talk about a shutafut to the goy, because that meant that you were jointly living in the house, which is a very unlikely scenario. And therefore, the din of mezuzah, or excluding mezuzah from that, would not be such a common case. And therefore, they learnt it somewhat differently. But that does lead to a machloket in the poskim, as to in the halacha, what is the din when you have a shutafut with an ovei kochavim, whether you are patur or chayav in a mezuzah, because the Gemara here never takes an explicit stand on that matter. All right, makef, when it comes to putting up a fence on the roof to prevent people falling off the roof, afagav dichtiv rachmono, you know the pasuk says, with regards to makef, ki tibneh bayit kadash, vasita makef ligagecha, lo tasim damim vetecha, ki pola nofel mimenu. So again, gagecha, didcha in dishutafut lo, you would have thought that's again a possessive noun saying that you have to have unique ownership to be chayav. Shutafut no. Kotov rachmono, the pasuk says, ki ipol hanofel mimenu. It says, so that it prevents those that fall off of it, or so that you will not be responsible for those that fall away because you've done what was incumbent upon you. Ela gag gecha lamayato. So then what is the possessive form of gag come to teach you? Mutei batei kenesiot ubatei midrashot. To tell you that a shul or a bit midrash does not require makeh. Which is very interesting, because Rashi says over here, the reason that your patur is, shein chelek le'achad mehem bo. No person has true ownership in them. Sha'af l'mnei ever ayam ho. Because it even belongs to people overseas. This Rashi is probably referencing to the Gemara Megillah that says that shuls are really owned by the public at large, because they're put there for the public to use. Even though technically there are particular individuals who are funding it or paying for it, but it's open to the public at large. If that's the case, then the public at large has an ownership in the Beit Knesset. So therefore, there's no individual ownership in the Beit Knesset to make them chayav in makeh. Vod she'enu Beit Dira. And the second thing is, it's kibnevne bayit chadash. It has to be a house. A house is a place of residence. The Beit Knesset, the Beit Midrashot, they're not places of residence. That's why they're pturim min hamizuzah. That's also why they're pturim min hamakeh. It's very interesting that the Beit Midrash, Beit Knesset, would be patur, because they're patur ala technicality. It's a technicality that they're not a Beit Dira, there's no private ownership. That doesn't mean there's no danger. If the roof is accessible, there still might be danger, and you don't have an obligation of makir, which is interesting because of the technicality in the din, that you'd be patur from it, even though it could result in danger, and you would expect somebody to take care of that matter, irrespective of that fact. But midoraita, one would be patur from makir, might be a good idea anyway, to put up the makir. Amra bibi barabaye, nidaitnu lahane klale. All that Rava just told you is not correct. These kalim don't apply. Rava's contention is that Rabbi Eli's position is uniquely associated with Reshita Geis, and all these other cases where there is a possessive form of the noun, Rabbi Eli does not say the same thing said by Reshita Geis, and therefore he agrees with the Chachamim that Shutafut would be Chayav in all these mitzvot, and the possessive noun is therefore a different limud in each of these cases. Rabbi says that's incorrect. Rabbi Eli's opinion is the same in Reshita Geis and consistent throughout all these mitzvot over here. Tanya Beimata Shutafim Chayevet Bibichora. When it comes to an animal that is in a partnership, their din of Bechor applies to it. Rabbi Eli Potra. There you go. Rabbi Eli says straight out that you are Patur in that case. Bechora, one of the cases that Rava said yesterday, that he doesn't hold that the Shutafut is Poterio. My time with Rabbi Eli. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Eli's position? That's because of the singular form that we found by Bechora. So again, there you have Biv Karcha Ubitzonecha to teach you that only individual ownership is Chayav. Vaktiv. What about the pasuk from Parshat Re'ei that says, "Ve'etim shamalotechem zevichem ve'et masrotechem ve'trumat yedchem nidchem nidvotechem ubechorot bikarchem ve'tzonechem" in the plural? To Kulhu Yisrael. That is a plurality that's not telling you about plural ownership. It's telling you the Bechorot of all the Jews. So it's the plurality of individual ownership. That's what's being said there. So now, what Rabbi Bibi Barabaye shows is that Rava's wrong with regards to that one item. Now he says, all the principles that he said are not true. So that's an interesting statement because he only brings one proof against that position. So he undermined one of the statements of Rabbi, he didn't undermine all of them. So what you have to say is that Rabbi Bibi Barabaye believes that now that he's shown that Rabbi's principle is incorrect, then you would have to go back and say maybe his principle is not correct in all of these cases. You can't rely on this concept that Rabbi put forth. Although you could argue that Rabbi's wrong by Bechora, but he's right by the other cases. But the Gemara never brings why Rabbi Bibi Barabaye thought that it was extended to all the other items. Amar Rav Chanina Misura, again, he rejects these views of Rava. Titania, Beimata Shutafim, Chayevet Beimatanot. The Matanot, Zrola Chayayim and Keba, by a Beima of partners, is Chayav. Rabbi Eli Poter. Once again, Rabbi Eli straight out says in the Braita that you are Potor. That's one of the things that Rava said by Matanot, that Rabbi Eli would agree with the Chachamim in that case. You see here, he doesn't agree. My Taima, Yolev Nitina Mitina Mereshita Geis. He learned out a Gzer Shavah of Netina Netina Reshita Geis, which is what we said before in the Gemara. Malalan de Shutafut Lo, Avkan de Shutafut Lo. Just like by Reshita Geis, partnerships are Turim, so too over here. Visa Gadatcha Bitshuma Mechayev. But we said before that why are you doing Netina Netina to Reshita Geis? Do Netina Netina to Truma. And by Truma you are Chayav Bishutafut. And therefore, Neilif Netina Netina Mitruma. Then you should learn it after Truma. Ella shmamina bitruma nami poter. What that shows you is that even if they had made netina netina from truma, you would have had the same result. Because, as Rashi says, mistavra da gmarua la chumra itlan the meidan. If you have a choice between a chumra and the kula, you will always go the chumra. So if netina from Reshita Geis told you you're patur by partnership, and netina by truma tells you chayav by partnerships, you would make the gzer shava to truma and say you're chayav in partnerships. The fact that they made the gzer shava and say you are patur tells you that both Reshita Geis and Truma must be Turim, according to Rabbi Eli, when they are a Shutafut, when they are a partnership. So what you see here is by Truma and Matanot, Rabbi Eli also says that partnerships are Turim. So now we have three of the cases that Rava brought, where he says Rabbi Eli agrees with the Chachamim. We see here in three of those cases he disagrees. By Bechora, by Truma, by Matanot. So again here, he says, forget all those Kalalim that Rava said. But we've only undermined three of them so far. not all of them. So now Gemara says, El Shema Mina, Betruma Nami Poter, Ima Shema Ba'aretz in Bechutz Alaretz. So now the Gemara takes off on this position, Rabbi Chanina ben Misura, and says, well, now that you establish that there's a Gzeir Shav between Netina and Tina, between the Matanot and the Truma, then that should have further implications, which is Truma has a number of unique features. If you're making Gzeir Shav like that, those unique features should be influential over the din of Matanot, which is Ima Truma Ba'aretz in Bechutz Alaretz Lo, just like by Truma, it's only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. Ap matanot, baritz in bechutz laaretz lo. So too by the matanot, the Israel lechayim, the kevali, shall have application in Eretz Israel, not outside Eretz Israel. I'm Rabbi Yossi ben Arbil, in. Yeah, you're right. Matanot only have application in Eretz Israel. Batanya, benichuta. You have a breakdown that shows that that's the case. Rabbi Lai Omer, matanot, enu agim, ela baritz. The matanot of the kuna, the Israel lechayim and the keba, only apply in Eretz Israel, just like truma, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. V'chenaya Rabbi Elai Omer, and then Rabbi Elai also says, V'shita geiz, enu hegela ba'aretz. V'shita geiz also only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, because once you have nitina, then you can make it a whole circle of truma is only in Eretz Yisrael. So to matanot, and then so to v'shita geiz. So my time at the Rabbi Elai, how does Rabbi Elai know this? Amarava yalib nitina tina mitruma. So he has the same Gzeir Shava, like you had Matanot to Truma, so do you have the same Gzeir Shava for Reshita Geis to Truma. And that means according to Rabbi Elai, it's limited to Eretz Yisrael. According to Chachamim, obviously they disagree and say it applies even in Chutz La'aretz. Wait a minute, Truma makes the item Tevel until you remove the Truma. So say the same thing by Reshita Geis. The item will be tevel until you remove the reshita geis. You can't utilize the animal, can't do anything to the animal until you take off the reshita geis. Amalei amakra v'reshit geis tzonecha titein lo. So there, the Torah already specifies that ein lecha bo ela mireshito ve'elach, that it only takes on a shape or form of reshita geis once it's reshit. Until it's removed, it has no standing. But once it's removed, then it has a standing of reshita geis. But if it has no standing before it's removed, it can't make it into tevel. Truma is subsumed in the item, and there's truma in there. Because we say, that when you take off the truma from it, implying that the truma is already embedded in the item. Ima truma chayivin alei mita v'chomesh. So, by truma, you're chayav mita b'dei shamayim. And you have to pay a keren v'chomesh if you eat it b'shogeg. But mezid, you're chayav mita b'dei shamayim. Keren v'chomesh if it's b'shogeg. Afrei shita geiz. Maybe should be chayvin alav mita v'chomesh. Same dinim should apply to reshita geiz. Amar kara umetu bo ki yichaluluhu. So metu bo, and then it says v'yosef alav, meaning that on it alav below reshita geiz. These are again miutim to tell you only on truma are you going to be chayav v'keren v'chomesh and bo below reshita geiz. So metu bo, if only for truma you're going to get mita b'dei shemayim, not for reshita geiz. Ima truma rishon v'sheni acharea. Of reshit ageiz, rishon v'sheni achareha. The implications of reshit mean that there's something after that. There's a second item. So that you have meiser rishon, meiser sheni. The fact that you say reshit means that's just the beginning. There's something behind it. So just like by truma, there's truma, then there's meiser rishon, then there's meiser sheni. There are other things after it. So to over here, by reshit ageiz should just be the first thing. There should be other things that come off afterwards. Amagra reshit in the chabo el reshit bilvad. That's the term reshit over here means reshit and exclusively reshit and nothing after it. Now it's interesting only because the same pasuk is reshit degan chati rosh chavi tzarecha reshit geizon chati demo. So Gemara is saying by the reshit the geiz, that's it, reshit exclusively reshit. By truma it says reshit and we don't say exclusively reshit. There we extend it and there are other items that come afterwards. So it's just interesting that the Gemara uses the same word that found in both places to give you that din by reshita geiz. The answer might be because the psukim and other places in the Torah explicitly state that there's an obligation. So there you can't learn reshit to mean reshit exclusively. And it has to be rishon and then sheni. Whereas the reshita geiz, there's no other obligation that we find. It says reshit, that's what it means, reshit and nothing else. So the Gemara says, ima truma mechadash al yashan lo. Just like by truma, you can't take off truma from this year on last year's produce, or last year's produce on this year's produce. Av reshita geiz mechadash al yashan lo. so too, with regards to Rashida Gaze, it should be cut off from year to year, that you can't take Rashida Gaze from different years and pull them together. It says in, that's right. Va'atanya, hayulo shtei rechelot, gazaz ve'niach. He has two ewes, and he shears them, and leaves over the shearings. Gazaz ve'niach, and then he does it again in the following year. Shnayim v'shalosha shanim, it really should be shtayim v'shalosh shanim, 2 or 3 years worth of this, so he collects it till he gets to the number 5. You need 5 in order to be chayav, he only has 2. So he keeps the first year's 2, the second year's 2, by the third year, now he has cumulatively the shearings of 5 sheep. Ein mitzdarfot, can't bring them together. Ha, chamesh mitzdarfot. Had it been 5, they would have been mitzdareit, meaning he owned 5 sheep, and he only sheared 2 of them this year, sheared 2 of them the next year, and one of them the third year, they would be mitzdareif, because there you have 5 separate sheep, and they would be mitzdareif over a span of 2 or 3 years. It's only here because it's the same 2 sheep that you're shearing every year, you can't cumulatively bring them together to make it into 5. But if you have 5, you can aggregate them. So now, if you say they're mitzdarfot, that sounds like you can be mitzdareif chadash and yashan. This is over multiple years. You just told me that you can't be mitzdareif them over multiple years like truma. Where it says, Vatanya, ain't mitzdarfot. Wait, we have another bright that says you can't bring them together. That's exactly the point. Rabbi Eli believes you can't put chadash and yashan together because of the gezeirah shavah to truma. Whereas the Rabbanan believe that you can have chadash and yashan by Bereshit HaGeis because they don't have that gezeirah shavah that brings it or compares it to truma. Ima truma gadel b'chiyuv chayav, gadel b'ptur patur. So just like by truma, if it grows in a place where, in a situation where it's chayav, it remains chayav. Grows in a place or a situation where it's patur, it remains patur. Av reshita geiz nami. So to by reshita geiz, the din should be the same. Gadel b'chiyuv chayav. If it grows, if it happened in a place where you would be chayav, it should be chayav, b'patur patur. Gemara says, gabi truma minolan. How do you know this is true by truma? Titania. Israel shall lakach sadeh b'Suria me'ovei kochavim. A Jew buys a non-Jew's field in Suria, as Rashi explains over here, that's Aram Tova, the areas to the north, that don't have full Kedushat Israel, because David HaMelech was conquered them, either because it was a kibush yachid, or because it was a kibush before he had finished being kovesh, everything is in the Aretz, so it doesn't attain full Kedusha, but because of its proximity to Eretz Israel, and the fact that David conquered it, it has quasi kedusha. So over there, by an Ovei Kochavim, where he definitely has the kinyan or the ability to be mafkia midei masrot, the trumot and masrot. In Eretz Yisrael, we don't know if a goy has the capacity to free you of the obligations of trumot and masrot. But in Syria, everybody agrees that the goy has that capacity. So the goy had this property, Achalor v'yashlish, he purchased it from him before the product in the field was reached its point of a third of maturity, then chayav, then he is responsible, the Jew that bought this, to give Trumot to Masrot. It should be a shlish. If it already had grown 1/3 of its maturity, we give him a chayev b'tosefet. Rechiva says anything that grew after that point when the Jew bought it is chayav and Trumot to Masrot. The chamim, potrim, and the chamim say you are potur. You see, by truma, it depends where it grew or under whose auspices it grew. 1/3 of growth is what's called onata masrot. It's the time period that determines whether this is maser from this year, the previous year. It is a din in determining the year or the affiliation of this product. So that's an important threshold. So what the Gemara is saying is that with regards to that threshold, ownership matters. The goy owns it up to that point of maturity, then he's already made it that it's grain that is patur, and even if the Jew takes it over afterwards, it won't change the fact that it's patur. The Jew takes possession of it before that threshold, then it will be chayav. So now, what they're saying is, that din that's true by truma, should also be true by reshita geiz. If you're comparing the two, so too over here. B'chit ema ochanami, that the case is true by reshita geiz. If the goy owns it, then when you shear it, you'll be patur. If the Jew owns it, when you shear it, you'll be chayav. Vatnan. Halogeach geiz son obe kuchavim, patur mi reshita geiz. If you buy the shearings off of the animal of the goy, you are patur mi reshita geiz. Ha. So no, ligzos, chayav. But if you bought the stone in order to shear them, you'd be chayav. So over here, despite the fact that the animals were brought up in the hands of the goy, and you only buy it now at the moment of shearing, and it's not tzon cha, it wasn't your tzon, it now became your tzon, but it wasn't your tzon until this point, nevertheless, you are chayav to give reshit ha-geiz. It's only when you buy the geiz itself, when you buy the shearings, and leave the goy with possession of the animal, there you are patur. But if you buy the animal, you're going to be chayav despite the ownership of the goy until that point. So Umar says, matnitzin to lok Rabbi Eli. That's not a problem. Our Mishnah doesn't follow Rabbi Eli's opinion. Eino chanami. According to Rabbi Eli, then you would be patur. In that case, our Mishnah says chayav. The other reason the Mishnah is not Rabbi Eli is because we just said before that Rabbi Eli believes that you're patur in chutz laaretz. And the Mishnah says it applies baretz u'b'chutz laaretz. That's another indicator that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eli. Ima shuma mimin al shein mino lo. Avrishita geiz mimin al shein mino lo. So just like by shuma, you have to have the same species that you're taking off shuma from. Meaning that if you have different fruits, different vegetables, or different grains, you can't take shumat masrod off of one for the other. You have to do each one individually. And we're going to see in a second, even more, down to types within the species. The different types within a particular species also have to be taken off separately. And even quality matters by truma. So the same thing should apply by Rishita Geiz. How do you know that's true by truma? The Tanya. He has two types of figs. Shchorot ulimanot. Black figs and white figs. Chen shnei minei chitim. Or two types of wheat. Ain't or me mumasrim mizel zeh. You're not allowed to take one off of the other. Rabbi Yitzhak Omer, Mishum Rabbi, can't be Eli. Mishum Rabbi Elazar. Beit Shammai Omim, ain't tormim. Beit Shammai says you don't take off the truma. Beit Hillel Omrim, tormim. That you're allowed to take off the truma. So now, Rabbi Yitzhak, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, says that it is a machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai as to whether you do or don't take off truma from one on the other, when they're within the same species. I mean, it's figs, but it's different types of figs. He says it's machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. The Tana Kama believes that it's not a machloket, and everybody agrees that you can't take off one from the other. Av Reshita Geiz, Mimino Shemin and Olo. So there, by Reshita Geiz, you should also have the same din that Min Sheino Mino. Now over here, by Reshita Geiz, Min Sheino Mino can't be different species because only sheep are Chayav in Reshita Geiz. So the only thing it could be is subsets of sheep. So it'd be the same thing as black figs and white figs. So too by Reshita Geiz. You should say the same thing over there. Mar says, hey, you're right. If there are different types of sheep, you can't take Reshita Geiz off of one and the other. You can't combine them to make the minimum of five. You don't bring them together in terms of Reshita Geiz. Vatnan, our Mishnah seems to indicate otherwise. Hayulo bet minim, he has two different types of sheep. Shkufot to libanot, brown, the splotchy, not white, not black. And white sheep. He has different types of sheep. Macharlo shchufot. If he sells them all of the shchufot, avalo libanot, and he keeps all the white ones for himself. Zenotein latzmo, zenotein latzmo. Both the lokeach and the mocher each take off separately. This goes to the din of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, if you leave something residual behind with the seller, then you're not chayav reshit hageiz, the seller is, because the seller doesn't have a right to sell the matnot kuna. So he must have retained them, and he must now be giving them. If the seller sells you everything that he has in his possession, then the buyer knows by definition, subsumed in there is the matnot kuna, the reshit hageiz, and he's responsible and he'll price it accordingly. So over here it says that if he sells you all of one type and keeps the other type, then you are separate for your dinim. It's as if he sold you the entirety of his flock and you're chayav in reshit hageiz. So you see there that they are considered to be separate species. But, ela me'ato seifa. Oh, now you brought the Mishnah to prove that. The latter part of the Mishnah doesn't exactly support that. Because there's Diktani Zecharim of Alodi Kevot. He sold you all the males and not the females. Zenotein Latzmo, Zenotein Latzmo. Over there the Mishnah says the same thing. Each one of you gives independently. Hachinami Mishum Terei Minininu? Now you're going to tell me that's because they're two species? Nobody believes that male and female within the same species is a different species. It's one thing to say white and black. One thing to say different types. But to say male and female are different species, nobody says that. Ella, what the Mishnah is saying is Eitza Tova Kemashmalon. It's giving good advice. So the Mishnah is giving good advice, which is the Leitiv Lei Mehai Derakich Mehai Deashun, that you should give from that which is soft and that which is hard. Hakanami Eitza Tova Kemashmalon. So to over here, he's giving good advice. The Leitiv Lumi Tarvayu, that he should give it from both. So now, what the Gemara is saying is not like the Pashtuta Mishnah. The Pashtuta Mishnah is the way that we read it until now, which is yes, When the mocher sells you all of a single type of animal, we classify that as being he sold everything and the matnot kuhuna went with it and now you're responsible for it. That's the Pashtuta Mishnah. Gemara says that can't be the case because of zecharim and nekevot. It's one thing to say shchufot and lebanot are differentiated. To say males and females, that's not a differentiation that's recognized halachically with regards to these mitzvot. And therefore, you can't suggest that the reason why you are responsible for it is because he sold you everything in that category. This is not a relevant category. So Gemara says the real reason is it's a eitzah tova. It's good advice. And the good advice is that the wool of the female is softer than the wool of the male. It's a better quality wool, a softer wool. Because of that, the mocher is still responsible for everything because they're considered one species. The male and the female are considered one species. And when you sell off all the males or all the females, what you left behind is going to force you to be the one who gives all the matanot. The problem is the mocher sold his males out and he kept the females. The males were the lower quality wool. He kept behind the females, which are the higher quality wool. If he gives reshita gaze on both the male and female, he's going to actually be giving more high quality wool as reshita gaze than he really has. So if 50% of his flock is female, 50% is male, then when he goes to give the reshita gaze, he's giving for 100% of the flock of the males and females, all from the females. That means he's giving double the amount from the females to cover the males as well. That means he's giving up more expensive wool than he needs to. And the advice of the Mishnah is buy it off of the person you sold it to. Buy back the wool, the male wool, so that you can give out on a ratio basis, the reshita gaze, 50% from male wool and 50% from female wool. That's the good advice. So it's actually all the obligation of the mocher, because we don't see this as being selling off all of his possessions or species with regards to this matter. And therefore, he's chayav, the mocher, in everything that he sold and that which he retained. And the good advice is, don't give just from what you retained. Give from what you sold as well, so that way you end up with a ratio that matches the quality of what the flock was, and not giving higher quality for lower quality animals. And the Gemara says the same thing with regards to the shkuf, the brown ones and the white ones. The same thing is true there. The white wool is better quality, it's a higher quality. When you retain it, you're better off buying back the brown wool from the buyer than you are giving all the wool from your own flock, because you're giving higher quality for something that you don't need to give higher quality for. You can give from the other animals which were lower quality. So it tells you to buy it back. But then, based on that, the Mishnah is not speaking about this issue at all, which means that the Mishnah doesn't view brown and white as separate species. It views it as the same species, and the Mocher is the only one who's Chayav. That's against that view that Shuma and Reshita Gaze have Xerah Shavah that makes them equivalent. Because over here it should have been that they keep the species separated. Our Mishnah is not saying that. Our Mishnah is saying that different species can be brought together. And you're chayav on that. My answer is, why is there even a question? Because, ha, ukimna the matita, the loke Rabbi Eli. You already established that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eli. So the Mishnah is not a question of Rabbi Eli. It's not Rabbi Eli. It says, chutz laaretz and Eretz Yisrael. For that reason we know it's not Rabbi Eli. We also know that if it grows under the possession of someone who is patur, it remains patur like truma. But our Mishnah says you are chayav, even in that scenario, reshita gaze. And here's a third issue, which clearly doesn't agree with Rabbi Eli, which is that shkufot and levanot are not different species. Whereas if you learn it from Truma, white and black things are different, so too are brown and white sheep. And so the Rabbi Eli is just not the author of our Mishnah, and he disagrees. The Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Eli, or Rabbi Eli disagrees with our Mishnah. The Gemara says, Ima Truma beinen reshit shishiare nikarim. Just like by Truma, where it says Reshit. Reshit means the first of. That means you have to have something residual. Can't have a first if there's nothing behind, after it. So that means that by Truma, you have to give something and leave something behind. Af Reshit Ageish, Yerani Karim. Maybe the same thing by Reshit Ageish. The message is, you're right. Batanat, don't we have a Mishnah in Chalo that says, Haomer Kogorni Truma, my entire Gorin is Truma, B'chol Yisati Chala, or my entire dough is Chala, Lo amar kum, it fails, because both of those have a din of reshit. By truma, it says reshit gamcha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha, and by the chala, it says reshit arisotechem. Reshit implies that there's something left behind. The Gemara says, ha, gziei reshit, tvarav kayamim. The diyuk you'd make there is that it doesn't mention reshit ageiz, implying that reshit ageiz, even if you gave everything, all your wool is reshit ageiz, it would be successful. Why should that be the case if it says reshit, and you compare it to truma? The tani idach lo amar kum. We have another braita that says he didn't say anything. El alav shmamina. What you see from that is ha Rabbi Elai ha Rabbanan shmamina. You see that Rabbi Elai is of the opinion like Shuma that when it comes to Reshita Geis, you can't give everything as Reshita Geis. You have to leave something behind, just like by Shuma. Whereas the Rabbanan disagree because they don't have that gezeirah shavah. Okay, now we come to the big statement of the Gemara, which is extremely controversial and has halachic ramifications. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Hayidna, Nahu Gama, Kahanit Flat Sabe. Today, the practice is like these three elders. Ki Rabbi Eloi b'Reshit HaGeiz. The halacha is like Rabbi Eloi with regards to Reshit HaGeiz. Titanya, Rabbi Eloi Omer, Reshit HaGeiz, Einu Rohayek El HaBaretz. Reshit HaGeiz only applies in Eretz Yisrael, does not apply in Chutz La'aretz. Seemingly, it would be not just this din, this would be the most radical part of his position, but it also would have ramifications for the other things that we compare to Truma. The reason that you're only Chayav in Eretz Yisrael is because of the comparison Truma. If you do say that, it would seem that you would have to take all the other dinim of Truma and apply it to Reshit HaGeiz. Eliam Cain, you say this is a minog, and it's not necessarily a halachic psak. Ukurabi Uda ben Beteira b'divrei Torah. The law is like Rabbi Uda ben Beteira with regards to Torah. The Tanya, Rabbi Uda ben Beteira Omer, ein divrei Torah mikablim Tumah. The Divrei Torah don't accept Tumah. That means that if you're a Baal Keri, you're allowed to learn Torah. Gemara in Brachot speaks about the Takanat Ezra, that a Baal Keri needs to be mitar himself in order to daven, and needs to be mitar himself in order to learn Torah. You have to have a tzvila every time you're a Baal Keri, otherwise you can't daven, you can't learn Torah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira up there, it says you can learn Torah, because ain't Divrei Torah mekablim Tumah. There's no din of Tumah by Divrei Torah. That means that even if you're Tamei, you can learn Torah, and being a Baal Keri will not preclude you from learning the Torah. So the halacha is like that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, that you don't need to go to the mikveh every time you're a Baal Keri in order to learn Torah. Uka Rabbi Yoshia b'kilayim. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yoshia and Kilayim. We discuss this back on Pei Bet, Amud Bet, where he says, the Tanya Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Dolam ein chayav ad shizara chita misora v'chartzam v'polet yad. In order to be chayav b'kilayi kerem, you have to plant two grains and a kerem, something from the kerem. So you either put in two grains in a kerem that already exists, or you put in a grape seed together with a wheat and barley kernel that you're planting all together. The reason he says that is because it says that you shouldn't bring kilayim into your kerem. So it has to be something that's already kilayim that you're bringing into the kerem, and he thinks you need three items together to be chayav in kilei kerem. Tosafot back on Pei Bet, Amud Bet, says that even though he agrees that when you only put in one at one, it's not Kilei HaKerem, he still thinks it's Kilei Zraim. There's still a din of Kilei Zraim, it's not Kilei HaKerem. Kilei Zraim is a much less radical, less stringent form of Kilayim. And Kilei HaKerem, Kilei HaKerem have an Isur Hana, they have a requirement for being burnt, there are all sorts of other halachot with regards to Kilei HaKerem. Whereas Kilei Zraim, you're not allowed to do, but it's not Osur Bahana, you can eat it, if it's planted by someone else, may not have application everywhere. So, according to Rabbi Yoshia, if you have less than the three seeds, it is Kilei Zraim. But in order to have Kilei Kerem, you need three seeds together, Chita Se'ora, which is Kilayim, together with the Kerem in order to be Kilei HaKerem. The problem that we have here is a twofold question that exists over here. The first of which is, does this apply only to Reshit HaGeiz, or does this apply to Matanot? Rabbi Eloi has a prominent position both by Reshit HaGeiz and by Matanot. That's how we started over here. The whole statement of Rabbi Hanina Misura was based on the fact that Reshit HaGeiz and Matanot both are compared to Truma, and therefore he believes they don't apply in Chutz La'aretz. So both Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot say over here, Vehu Adin b'Matanot compares Bekuntres. The din is not only by Reshit HaGeiz, like Rabbi Eloi, that Reshit HaGeiz applies in Eretz Yisrael, so too Matanot only apply in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. That is the view of Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot. On the other side, you have the Rambam, the Ramban, the Ran, who all believe that this is only said by Reshit HaGeiz, not said by Matanot. It tells you. The minog is, Kev Rabbi Eloi b'Reshit HaGeiz. It never mentions Matanot. Therefore, they believe it's uniquely with Reshit HaGeiz, not by Matanot, whereas Rashi and Tosafot think it applies by Matanot as well. The Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions down the halacha as to whether Matanot apply in Chutz La'aretz or only in Eretz Yisrael. He brings that machloka down the halacha. The other problem, and this is a serious issue that's raised by the Balei HaTosafot, which is, Ve'af agav tekulu amorai v'perek hazroa. The previous perek, we had a bunch of amoraim that said, No heg b'chutzlaretz. But all of these Babylonian Amoraim who were accepting matanot on behalf of their wives who were a bat kohen, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok himself was penalizing the butchers in Babel who didn't give matanot, and he took away their cloaks to force them to give up their matanot. So you see, all of these Amoraim believe that there is a din of matanot in chutz la'aretz. And then Tosfos goes on to show that that's true by all of the halachot that are brought over here. He says, V'tuva Amorai, V'tana'ei. There are many Amoraim and Tana'im, the Savei, V'perk, Mishimeto, Mutal Lefanav. By brachot, the Baal Keri Asur B'divrei Torah. There are lots of Amoraim and Tana'im. This is the minority opinion, as Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Everybody else thinks that you are problematic if you're a Baal Keri to learn Torah. The Tosfot brings a Rav Haigon that says by Tevilah that we have a din that the Gemara says with regards to Tevilah to Ger. The Ger goes to Tevilah, he can't make a bracha before he goes into the Tevilah because he's not Jewish. He's only Jewish afterwards, and therefore he can only make a bracha over Liatsiyatan. But the Tosfot says, Rav Haigon says, that's only by Tevilah to Ger. But by a Tevilah for Baal Keri or for Tumah, you can even make the bracha beforehand. Avo pishu tamei mevarech the no gama to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. So loch is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira that you're allowed to make a bracha or a divrei Torah, not problematic. You can do that even before you go in for the tefillah. It's not a problem. So there you see that we are paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira based on the Rav Haigon. Then Tosfot said v'yesh mifarshim that when the Gemara says that chutz mitefillah tager, it doesn't mean chutz mitefillah doesn't mean tefillah tager. It means any tefillah. All tefillot you make the bracha afterwards, not before. Tefillah Teger, because you have to. All the other is because, just like Tefillah Teger, you're not ra'oi beforehand. That means when you're tamei. So you see here that there is a minog of people to still keep this din of Baal Keri. And Tosfot says there is a strong minog of people that are machmirim to be tovel for Tumat Baal Keri, despite the fact that we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. And similarly, with regards to Kil'ayim, the Shita of Rabbi Yoshia, is also a dat yachid where most of the Amoraim disagree with the Shita of Rabbi Yoshia. So in all these cases, we have the majority of opinions against this, and then we have Noag Alma. That's the Minogam that they pass in that way. The Tosfot here is somewhat bothered by the fact that, first of all, a majority of opinions are against what we say here. And even in this case, when we say we pass in like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, there's a common practice to still go to the mikvah for Baal Keri in order to learn Torah and for Tefillah. So why is that the case? And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, who's the Baal HaMemra here, in the previous perek was forcing people to give up matanot and chutz la'aretz. So Tosfot says with regards to the Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok case, is that times changed. That at one point, the minog was that they gave in chutz la'aretz, and then the minog changed afterwards that they stopped giving in chutz la'aretz. So that's how he explains the difference in Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, but that's what pushes the other Rishonim, like the Rambam, the Ramban, and all to say, that by matanot, we don't paskin like this, because that's a stira in Rav Nachman Yitzchok. The previous parak is very clear that many people were giving in Bavel, and therefore they believe matanot apply not only in Eretz Yisrael, even in chutz la'aretz. Reshita Gaze is the sole time where we say this. So this is a very interesting psak by Rav Nachman Yitzchok, because first of all it says Nahug Alma, the minug is like this, which means that the minug is going against what is an established practice, it seems, and even what the majority opinion is. And how do you do that? How do you have somebody come along and do that? So what you have to suggest is that these halachot originally, like for instance, Tevilat Baal Keri, never took hold. There are those that suggest by the time of Ezra, the Rove of the Am did not accept the Gzeirah, and therefore the Gzeirah never really took hold, it was only a Minog. Since it's a Minog, then they could change the Minog at a certain point, or that Ezra, because it was only a Minog, he built it in such a way that if the Olam shifted in a different direction, that they would be permitted to do so and would not be undermining an earlier takana. So either it was never a takana because the majority didn't accept it, or it was a takana, but embedded in the takana was the right to reverse it. And that's why we can paskin now, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, even though the majority seemed to before that abide by this takana to Ezra, or a significant minority did, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira was able to say that it doesn't apply because of the din of Ein. And similarly, with the case of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, it seems to be that if you believe the matanot are included here, it seems to be the same thing happened there, that the minog changed over time as to whether they did or did not give matanot in chutz la'aretz. And then with regards to Rabbi Yoshia and with regards to Reshita Gaze, we are passing based on Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, like that Yachid of Rabbi Eli, which means that all these halachot that we mentioned before with regards to Rabbi Eli are impactful because we're passing halacha like him, at least with Reshita Geis, maybe even by Matanot. So that obviously has ramifications today with regards to giving Matanot. In Chutz Laaretz, there's obviously more room now to be Mekio with regards to the Matanot because of the fact that many think that the halacha is like Rabbi Eli. It does not cause the animals to be Tevel. And you know, it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. So for all those reasons, you might not give it in Chutz Laaretz. In Eretz Yisrael, then the din would be then open to the same machloket that we have with regards to truma. With regards to truma, there's a machloket as whether truma is applicable today, midoraita or midorabanan. If you believe kedusha shniya was permanent, then there might be a din of truma midoraita today. Of course, if you think that kedusha shniya was not permanent, then it would be only midorabanan today that you're giving trumot. Or even according to the Rambam, who says that kedusha shniya was permanent, but there are other reasons why you don't give truma today midoraita, it's only midorabanan. So then that same machloket would then have impact over here with regards to Reshita Geis and Matanot. So whether they're the Rabbanon or the Midoraita, because we have a Gzer Shava between Truma and them, and that affects where and when you are Chayav, and given that, the din today would be dependent on the din of Truma. If Truma is the Rabbanon, Reshita Geis and Matanot would be the Rabbanon. If Truma is Doraita, then the din of Reshita Geis and Matanot would also be Doraita, at least going to Rashi and Tosafot, who connect both of them. For the Binyan, the Rambam, the Ramban, it would be by Reshita Geis, who had the same din as Truma, but Matanot are not capped this issue at all, and therefore they'd be Chayav everywhere. In addition, there are those that say today that you're Patur mi Matanot in Eretz Yisrael, because the Kohanim can't prove that they really are Kohanim, and therefore they don't have a right to come and ask for it, or we don't have an obligation to give it. Although there are Achronim that say, despite that, you have an obligation to take off and deal with the Matanot, whether that you do that through taking them off and giving them, or you do that by having a shutaf that would make you patur in them, but you need to do something. And as I mentioned before, based on some of the surveys, a lot of places that deal in these matters are not taking care of this issue. If it's the Rabbanan, it's a little easier to be mekio, but it's still problematic. And if you believe that it is doraita, then certainly it's a major issue, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where there would be a chiyuv as opposed to some that say that by chutz laaretz there is no chiyuv. Chomer bizroa l'chayim and kibay bechumra over reshita geis, and that is that they are, number one, apply to cattle and flock, not just to sheep, and number two is they apply to even a single number, whereas reshita geis needs multiples because you need a minimum of five in order to be chayav, at least according to the rabbanon. So litnei, why don't they add this one in? Chomer b'reshita geis noeg b'treifot, ma she'en kein b'matanot. Reshita geis, you don't have to check whether the animal's a treifer or not. You take off reshita geis irrespective of the condition of the animal. By matanot, it's dependent on your ability to eat it. The matanot are not to be given to your klavim, it's to be given to the kohen. If it's a treifa, you can't eat it, and therefore the matanot don't belong to the kohen. And for that reason, you would be patur b'matanot in that case. That's another distinction. So Ravina, amani Rabbi Shimoni, our mission was authored by Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Poterta Trefot Reshita Geis. He thinks that Trefa also is a tour by Reshita Geis, and therefore it's not a chumrah of Reshita Geis above Matanot. Both Matanot and Reshita Geis are Paturim when they're a Trefa. My time of the Rabbi Shimon, what's the reason by Rabbi Shimon? Yolif Nitina, Nitina, me Matanot. Zer Shova of Natan from the Matanot, which is Natan Nakoen, Azra, Vachayam, Vakeba, and Reshita Geis, Chitain Lo. Zerushava Natina Tina. Ma Matanot Trefa Lo. Just like by the Matanot, the Trefa, you don't give it to the Kohen. Av Reshita Geis, Nami Trefa Lo. So do by Reshita Geis, you don't give it if it is a Trefa. The Olive Natina Natina Mi Matanot, Leilif Natina Natina Mi Truma. He's already doing that and learning out Natina Natina from Matanot to Reshita Geis. She also learned Reshita Geis from Truma. Ma Truma Ba'aretz in B'chutz Aretz Lo. So then say the same thing. Now Rabbi Eloy did think that. But now you're trying to say that Rabbi Shimon would also hold that, that it's only applicable in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. Allah Matznan, why do we have a Mishnah? Reshita geiz noeg ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. Our Mishnah says it applies in both places. You're telling me that Rabbi Shimon's the author of our Mishnah says it applies in Chutz La'aretz and Aretz. Elo, hainu time with Rabbi Shimon. That can't be the reason of Rabbi Shimon, the Gzer Shava. Elo yolim tzon tzon mi matzer. He learns out Exer Shava of Tzon from here by Reshit, Deiz Tzon Chat Yiten Lo. And Tzon that's mentioned by Maser where ma maaser treifa lo, just like by maaser treifa is not chayav in maaser beima, of reshita geiz treifa lo. So too by reshita geiz, they're not chayav if it's a treifa. B'hotam min olad, how you know by maaser that you are patur when it is a treifa? Because the pasuk says kol asher yavor tachad hashevet, anything that goes under the wand, under the staff, prat the treifa shenu aver. To exclude a treifa, I mean it has to be an animal that can walk out. And if you cut off the legs of an animal, make it into a treifa, it can't walk out. And so in the treifa, our kuva, the malo, we'll learn out to other treifot that if it is a treifa, it doesn't go through the corral and does not end up getting counted towards maaser behema. There are problems with this limud because even if you cut the legs of the animal underneath the berach and it's not a treifa, it still can't walk under the shevet. So you see that not being able to walk has nothing to do with being a treifa. You could be a treifa and walk, and you could not be a treifa and still not walk. So it's a problem. The limud is not as clear. It might be that a treifa is not going to be around from year to year. A treifa is going to health-wise deteriorate. So maybe that's the reasoning over here, but it's not so clear why a treifa is patur by maaser behema. Elele tzon tzomi bechor. Why don't you learn out a gzer shavet tzon? Ma bechor afilu treifa. Bechor, which is kadosh mirechem, and you don't get to choose which bechor is and which bechor isn't. So then all bechorim are kadoshim. Avreshita geiz afilu treifa. So to bereshita geiz, it should be irrespective of the condition of the animal. So why are you learning from maaser beima? You should learn it out of bechor. Mar says, mistabra mi maaser avalei de melef. Makes sense to learn from maaser beima because shekein, it has these common denominators with maaser and reshita geiz. Zicharim. Bechor only applies to male animals. Reshita geiz and maaser beima applies to male and female equally. Tmeim. Bechor applies to non-kosher animals by pidyon, peter, chamor. By peter chamor, you have that din. Reshita geiz and maaser only apply to behemot kshei rot. Biru miru bim. When it comes to reshita geiz and maaser, they have a minimum threshold. Reshita geiz has a minimum of 5. Maaser behemot needs a minimum of 10. Bechor is even an individual is a bechor. Mirechem. Bechor is kadosh mirechem. Reshita geiz and maaser only take on their status of kedusha once you've designated them or delineated them as that product. Adam, bechor has application even by human beings. Reshita geiz and maaser do not have that. Pashut, when it comes to reshita geiz and maaser behema, they apply to all the regular animals as well, which is not true by bechor. It only applies to the firstborn. And lifnei adibur, bechor had application even before Har Sinai, whereas maaser behema and reshita geiz only applied post Matan Torah, maybe even post-entrance into the land of Israel and Kibush Mechiluk. So they don't have application until after Ma'amad Har Sinai. Whereas Bechor was already something that existed from the time Rashi says Hashem killed out all the Bechorim in Mitzrayim and left the Jewish Bechorim. Already by that point, there's a din of Dushat Bechor and Pidyon Ben. So that applies even before Ma'amad Har Sinai. So those 7 common denominators between Maaser Behema and Reshita Geiz is what made me say the Gzer Shava Reshita Geiz to Maaser versus the Truma. Where it says, Adraba, Bechor Abiyalei de Melef, Shekein, she'll learn it from Bechor, because it has a common denominator with Reshita Geiz in the following manner. Yatom. Bechor and Reshita Geiz apply to a Yatom, as opposed to Maaser Behema, which does not apply to a Yatom, which is when the mother passed away, when the fetus was born. If that happens, then the fetus that's born is a Yatom, and it can't be brought on the Mizbeach, and it's precluded from Mizbeach. And Maaser Behema has the same din that by Yatom, it is Patur. Because a Maaser Behema, you learn Tachat Tachat, Gzer Shava from Kodoshim, just like Tachat Imo by Kodoshim teaches you that a Yatom cannot be brought as a Korban. So too, with regards to a Maaser Behema, will not be given from a Yatom, as opposed to Bechor, which is Kedusha Mirechem, and it doesn't matter what happened to the mother, or whether the animal is a Yatom. It's Kedusha Arechem, that happens either way. Shilakho, if you purchase a Bechor or Reshita Geiz, or Bishutafut, you're in a partnership with regards to Reshita Geiz and a Bechor, you are Chayav. That's not true by Maaser Behema. By Maaser Behema, if you purchase the animals, you're not Chayav in Maaser Behema. And if you have a partnership, you're also not Chayav in Maaser Behema. Nitano, if you get it as a gift, if you get an animal as a gift, you're not chayav in maaser beima. By Bechor and Reshit Hageiz, if you get it as a gift, you are chayav in those matanot. Bifnei, this is the girsa of Rashi, which is bifnei means bifnei abayit, v'shalo bifnei abayit. Whether the Mikdash is extant or not, you are chayav in Bechor, and you are chayav in Reshit Hageiz. Maaser beima, you are not chayav, and as Rashi points out, that's a din d'rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that don't do Maaser beima bizman hazeh, because of the fear that people will think that something that is purchased or an animal that's a yatom is included in the count for Maaser beima, and then that will cause problems in terms of kushat maaser, which shouldn't have happened, and yom chulin bazara. You have all sorts of problems that arise from that. So therefore they said, don't give Maaser beima anymore. So that's different. Maaser beima is precluded when the Mikdash is not extant, whereas Bechor and Reshit Hageiz apply whether the Mikdash is extant or not. That's Rashi's girsa. The obvious criticism of Rashi's shita is that that din, that Maaser beima doesn't apply to it, is only a din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraita. Therefore, the Tosafot favors what he says was the original girsa, which is lifnei. And lifnei is a shorthand for the din of Maaser beima, which is lifanav v'acharav. By Maaser beima, when it goes out of the corral and the person is counting them, if he mixes up 9 and calls it 10, if he mixes up 11 and calls it 10, then all of them have dushat maaser beima, which means that it's able to be makdish lifnei. The 9th animal, if you count it as 10, will become kadosh. And acharav, the 11th animal, if you count it as 10, will also be kadosh. So maaser beima has that aspect to it, which is not true by Bechor and Reshit Hageiz. Then, Kohen, the Bechor and Reshit Hageiz are matnot kuna. Maaser beima stays with the owner. It's a korban that's brought up to the Mikdash, or if he gets a moment it, the owner can eat it himself. Bik dusha, Bechor, you don't have to be makdish. Reshit Hageiz doesn't require a kedusha. Maaser beima, you need to anoint it. You need to be makdish it in order for it to have hekdesh. This goes back and matches with Rashi Shita from yesterday's daf, that Reshit Hageiz doesn't have any inherent kedusha to it. Therefore, when he explains over here kedusha, that is common between Bechor and Reshit Hageiz, he says they are similar in that they both don't require being mukdash, require you to make them kadosh or to be makdish them. Although Bechor by itself has inherent kedusha, Reshit Hageiz has no kedusha. But as Rashi says over here, that the meaning of kedusha over here is that they both don't require hekdesh. But there are those who disagree with Rashi yesterday and say Reshit Hageiz does have kedusha because Gemara compared it to kedushat damim. If you say that, then it's easy to understand Bechor and Reshit Hageiz are common because they both are kadosh. They have a kedusha to them, which is not true by Maaser beima. Now Rashi does bring a second interpretation with regards to kedusha, which is that Hageiz and Bechor are nixtei hakohen likadesh bo daisha, to get married with it. But Maaser beima, you don't have the right to use it as nixtei balim to be mekadesh nisha with it, because it says lo yimacher v'lo yigael by the Maaser beima. So Rashi says about that interpretation v'lav nilti. That's totally incorrect, because even though Maaser beima, you're not allowed to sell and you're not allowed to redeem it, it's still the mamon balim. It's still your monetary possession. And since it's your monetary possession, you have a right to be mekadesh nisha with it. You're not selling it. You're not redeeming it. You're using it as a vehicle, as part of your possessions, to create the kinyan that would be affected by the kiddushin. And that you can do even with an animal that is maaser beima. And that's why Rashi thinks that that explanation is incorrect. Mechira. And you're allowed to sell a Bechor or Reshit Hageiz because they're nixtei hakohen. Maaser beima, you're not allowed to sell. Because the pasuk says, lo yimacher v'lo yigael, that you're not allowed to sell the maaser beima. Right, the Gemara says, now you have a problem. Because Hanach Nefishin, common denominators between Reshit Hageiz and Bechor are 8, and the common denominators between Reshit Hageiz and Maaser are 7, which would then push you in the direction of saying that you should follow Bechor and not Maaser. And if that's the case, you don't have a source that we're searching for Rabbi Shimon, that Reshit Hageiz by Trefa, you are Patur mi Reshit Hageiz. My answer's up in the end, Pashut mi Pashut Adiflei. There is a trump card over here. The fact that Bechor only applies to the firstborn versus Reshit Hageiz and Maaser beima apply to all of the animals that are chayavim, that common denominator is overpowering. And that difference makes it that you're much more likely to favor making Zer Shava between Maser and Meshita Geiz than you are to make it between Meshita Geiz and Bekor. And for that reason, that then is the source for Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Because if you learn a Zer Shava from Maser Beima to Meshita Geiz, then just like by Maser Beima, a Treifa is Tura, so too by Reshit HaGeiz, a Treifa will be Tura from the Reshit HaGeiz. That's the source for Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And Rabbi Shimon, therefore, will be the author of our Mishnah, or could be the author of our Mishnah, because of the fact that it doesn't mention this as a distinction between Reshit HaGeiz and Matanot. And that's because for Rabbi Shimon, there is no distinction. Just like by Matanot, Treifa is Tura, so too by Reshit HaGeiz, Treifa is Tura. And now we don't have a problem about the Aretz and Chutz La'aretz issue. Because before, when you're learning it from Truma, that caused you additional headaches that he can't fit into the Mishnah. But now that you're learning it out from the Gzeirah Shavah of Tzon Tzon, then you don't have the problem of comparing it to Truma. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon believes that it's Chayav Be'aretz Uba Chutz La'aretz. If that's the case, he could be the author of our Mishnah. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots at the top of Kuf Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph.